1 Timothy this morning. So if you want to turn there, 1 Timothy chapter 6 in our Bibles. Great passage on godliness this morning. Something that every Christian should be pursuing, something we don't hear about as much as we should. Godliness. 1 Timothy chapter 3 beginning, or chapter 6, sorry, beginning in verse 3. 1 Timothy 6, 3, the Bible says, "If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, and evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content." So the title of the message is Godliness with Contentment. Godliness with contentment. Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much. We thank you for Jesus, who has done it all for us, Lord. And we just thank you for your word that you've given to us, preserved for us, Lord, and we can open it together and hear from you. May we open our hearts now and allow you to do a work in our lives that's powerful and lasting. Lord, we want to glorify you in this service and magnify you. And we want to leave saying it was truly good to be in the house of the Lord. We give you this service. May your will be done in every heart. We ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. So we see in this passage that man tries to find substitutes for godliness because man is proud and man is selfish, self-centered. We could go on and on, couldn't we? But Paul here is addressing that in this passage. And so he starts off by warning that one of the alternatives, if you will, to pursuing godliness is believing wrong. In other words, pursuing, if you will, the deeper meaning of things without pursuing doing right. And that can lead people astray. That's how cults get started. There's people that they're not necessarily seeking God and seeking righteousness and seeking to please God, but they're seeking to learn more and more and more and more and more. And we always should be learning more. Don't misunderstand me. But if our focus isn't God, if our focus is, I want to be the smartest guy in the room when it comes to the Bible, we're going to go the wrong way. And those are the people he's addressing here. Verse 3, it says, "Any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness." Godliness and doctrine go hand in hand, what God is saying. That if we will not set out to do right, then we're not going to know right. And you know, Jesus said the same thing. If you go over in John chapter 7, please. Jesus made a similar statement, which is very interesting because often you'll hear people say, well, when God shows me that it's that I need to get saved, then I'll get saved. And I always say, God wants you saved, so get saved and then God will show you the rest. And often Christians have that attitude too. Well, when God shows me that I need to do this, then that's what I'll do. In the meanwhile, they're not obeying the scriptures in the areas that they know they should be. Notice what Jesus said in John 7:17. "If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." Notice the first thing is the obedience. If any man will do his will, if you will set out to please God, if you will seek God, seek godliness, then God will give you the illumination of his word through the Holy Spirit. And what can happen is if your pursuit isn't God, if your pursuit isn't pleasing God, you can be led astray. And he's addressing that in this passage. One more verse on this, Psalm 111, verse 10. Which says a similar thing, but in the Old Testament. Have a look there, please. Psalm 111 and verse 10. Notice the Bible says here, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Very well-known phrase. But look what it says in the next passage. "A good understanding have all they that do his commandments." His praise endureth forever. A good understanding have all they that do. So again, do you see the connection between obedience and knowledge. First needs to come the desire to please God, the desire to seek God, to be closer to God. Then God will give the knowledge. God will give the understanding. But people that set out to say, no, I just want to study. I want to be able to impress everybody with my Bible knowledge, but they don't want to live for God, they're going to go the wrong way. And Paul is addressing those people. Notice back in our passage, 1 Timothy, verse 4, these are the things that godliness is not: pride, envy, strife, railing, evil surmisings, perverse disputings. So the alternative is believing wrong. Your doctrine's wrong. Your thinking process is wrong. Your faith is not where it should be, and that is in God. Pride, of course, that means self-centered versus God-centered. Envy is the opposite of contentment. Strife, that's having trouble getting along with others. Railings, people that are evil speaking, or they gossip, or they're judgmental. Evil surmisings means second-guessing God's words. And we could go on and on. So this is the alternative number one to godliness, is wrong thinking. And again, that's how cults get started. When you're not living godly, you're more prone to wander from the truth. When your focus is on the sins of others, did you notice the evil surmisings there? When your focus is on the sins of others, rather than on living godly, you'll be more prone to wander, even in your understanding of God's Word. So this is important for us to understand this morning, that number one needs to be godliness, pleasing God. God will take care of the rest. How often do we tell people that are contemplating salvation the same thing? They're saying, oh yeah, but I do this and I do this. And what do we say? God wants you saved. You get saved, you're a new creation, you're a new child. God will take care of the rest. God will move into your heart and change your life. You don't have to change your life to get saved. You get saved and God will change your life. So for us as Christians, God wants godliness. Godliness above all other things. Otherwise, we can be led astray doctrinally, as he said. Doctrine which is according to godliness. The second alternative that man seeks, notice he says, verse 5, supposing that gain is godliness. Godliness is evident in our behavior, not in what we have, not in our acquisition of things. And yet, man still can have this tendency if he's not careful. Sometimes in churches you'll have maybe a super wealthy person come into the church, and people aren't careful, they treat that person differently. James has a lot to say about that, by the way. Because they have all this money, they're treated differently, as if they're more godly than everyone else, but they're not. They're a sinner saved by grace like the rest of us. Gain is not godliness. But he says, supposing that gain is godliness. And then, of course, he goes on to warn specifically the rich down there in verse 9. Because he says that, wealth can be a strong temptation. He says there, they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts. So he warns the rich there. Why? Because the tendency for a wealthy person is to think that gain is godliness. But the same wrong thinking can happen to a Christian. Gain is not godliness. And we'll talk more about what godliness is here in a moment. But let's look at Colossians chapter 3, if we could, and just nail this down, what God thinks about covetousness, which is the desire for gain. Covetousness. Colossians 3:5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Most people believe that it's impossible for people in the Western world to get involved in idolatry because they don't have a little thing setting up on their mantle that they burn candles to. But God says that covetousness is idolatry. Think about that. anything that we put before God is idolatry. So gain is not godliness. The Bible says that we're to be without covetousness. We're to be content with such things as we have. Jesus says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, not on earth. And we're not to live for the things down here. You know, Job, when God took basically everything away from him, think about it. First his children, then his living, and then ultimately his health. You know what his answer was? Naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That needs to be our attitude. God first. It's not about the stuff. It's not about the things. It's about pleasing God. It's about godliness. One more passage on this. Luke chapter 12. This is a parable that Jesus told about a rich man. Luke chapter 12, if you would turn there. And then we're going to talk about godliness itself. Luke chapter 12, look at verse 20 if you would. The Bible says, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So, believing wrong is one alternative to godliness, and seeking the wrong things is one alternative to godliness. But let's talk about godliness. Because the Bible says in verse 6, godliness with contentment is great gain. What is godliness? Well, 1 Timothy, surprisingly, uses the word 9 times out of the only 15 times it's found in the Bible. So this is one of the key words of the book of 1 Timothy, is godliness. And godliness is really not complicated. It is when we behave in a godly way. When we act like God would. And Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them. Did he not? That we can know based on the output what's in the heart. By their fruits you shall know them. And godliness is essentially doing the right thing all the time. Look at 1 John chapter 2, if you would, verse 6. The Bible talks a lot about the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. When a person is godly, then those traits are naturally exhibited in that person's life because they are yielded to God, and God is working those things out through that person. It's a natural process for someone who is yielded to God. 1 John 2, 6, notice what it says. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. It's talking about Jesus. That will be a good definition of godliness. Walk like Jesus. Do what Jesus would do. The Bible even talks about exercising ourselves into godliness. But back to 1 Timothy again. Look at chapter 4 this time. Godliness is the pursuit of being like God, which God is trying to work out in each of us. We're told in Romans 8:29 that he's trying to conform us to the image of his Son. He is using whatever means at his disposal, trials, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, other people, whatever, to conform us to the image of Jesus. To make us more like Jesus. To make us more godly. Which is ultimately what he desires for our Christian lives. Look at 1 Timothy 4:7. Refuse profane and old wives' fables. Exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. God says that if we will pursue godliness, we'll be blessed here and there. If we could, I'd like us to think about what we're pursuing in our Christian life. What are we after? If we're not after God and pleasing God, then we're after the wrong thing. Most people are after happiness. But the Bible says that's not what we're to be after. The Bible says if we'll be after God, then we'll get happiness. Because God's the one that made us. He knows what makes us truly happy. And I'd like to show you a couple of scriptures on that. Go to Proverbs 29, if you would. I'm going to show you a New Testament verse and an Old Testament verse on this. We talked a lot about this in our counseling class that we just finished last term. Because one of the basic premises of biblical counseling is that the goal of counseling isn't to make people happy. Biblical counseling. The goal of biblical counseling is to make people more like God. And if that's their desire and pursuit, they will be happy. But the world says happiness first. Whatever it takes to make me happy. So you go to a worldly counselor, you have marital problems. What's the counselor say? Well, if it makes you happy to split up, well, then you should split up. God says you shouldn't split up. So how do you reconcile those two things? Because it's not about, well, what makes me happy? No. What's important is, are we after God? Look at Proverbs 29:18. Most of you know the first part of the verse very well. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But the second half we don't hear much about. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. You want to find happiness? Obey. Please God. And God will give you happiness. Internal, genuine, real happiness comes from the Lord. If we will seek to please Him. Now let's look at a New Testament equivalent. John chapter 13 and verse 17. Jesus here was in the upper room with His disciples. Look what He said. John 13 and 17. If you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. So again, the connection between happiness and obedience. The pursuit of God, the pursuit of pleasing God, is the only thing that can bring true happiness deep in our soul. But unfortunately, because we are selfish and self-centered, we tend to seek things that we think are going to make us happy, which ultimately means make our flesh happy. And then it doesn't work. And then we come to God and say, what happened? It went wrong. We weren't seeking God. We weren't seeking to please God. We were seeking to please ourselves. And it's not about us. It's about Him. It's not that God wants us to have a miserable life, though. That's not the point. God told us that if we would seek to please Him, He will make us happy. It's just a lot of Christians are afraid to step out and do that by faith. Say, I'm going to obey God. I'm going to please God. I'm going to seek God. And if I do those things, God's going to make me happy. That's a leap of faith, just like it was when we got saved, just like it is when we give our tithe. All these other things are leaps of faith. It's a leap of faith to say, I'm going to do right no matter what, and that God's going to make me happy. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Great gain. So think about what Paul is telling us. He said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He said, all I care about is pleasing Jesus. And if I die, I go to heaven. But my focus is not me. My focus is pleasing God. And if that's our focus, that's true gain. Because that will be true contentment and true joy and true happiness in our soul. It comes down to what are we pursuing. He goes on to say in our passage, verse 7, we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. We sure try, though. But we, let's face it, we leave the way we came with nothing. Unless we're a Christian. Amen? Then we leave with eternal life. Jesus said, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Paul here, of course, is talking from an earthly perspective, saying we don't come in with any possessions and we don't leave with any possessions. We leave them all behind. But we can certainly send some ahead. Jesus said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. How do we do that? by serving Christ, by witnessing to the lost, sending it on ahead. Those things will last. But the Bible says here, verse 8, then having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. The Bible says, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. In Proverbs 15:16. Now think about it. What is the opposite of contentment? Discontentment, complaining, moaning. Did you know the thing that angered God more than anything about the Israelites during their time in the desert was when they complained, when they murmured, when they got angry with God for their circumstances? That angered God more than any other thing and resulted in plagues, resulted in different punishments, discontentment. So the Bible says it's great gain. The world is out there looking for great gain. They're not going to find it because it's not in silver and gold. It's not in stuff. It's not in pleasing the flesh. Great gain is found in godliness with contentment. And I would hope that that would be our pursuit. I want to please God above all else. I just want to please God. And I want to be like God. And if that's our pursuit, I guarantee you what will happen, genuine happiness will take over. Because God designed us. He knows what works. And that will work in our lives. Godliness with contentment. Let's pray.